If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Both times they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, chilling, you?
Guys, I'm excited because one of my favorite players is coming back, and I'm so excited to see him back on the court. We're talking about Anthony Davis, of course, from the Lakers. He's scheduled to come back after missing, I want to say, the whole season, I feel like, guys. Honestly, I feel like I've barely seen him play this year, and I'm excited that he's finally been cleared to have physical contact with his teammates, and that just means that he's one step closer to the coming back to the court pride. So I give it up to you. You know, I've had this thought about, you know, should they just wait for LeBron to be healthy as well and then bring him back together, or do you think that AD should go out there, get a little chemistry with Drummond, and then wait for LeBron to come back later, or how do you see it?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, shout out to Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if you guys heard, but he messed up his right ankle. The x-rays came back negative, so he's straight, but tonight he's getting an MRI. So we'll learn if it's an ankle sprain or if he's fine. But to answer your question, absolutely not. There's no way that they should have Anthony Davis miss any more games than he needs to. And there's multiple reasons. So the first one that honestly everybody's probably thinking about, this dude's been out for, like you said, JJ, it feels like he's been out the whole year. So why are you going to make him wait longer when this is a game where you do this thing called running? This thing where when you shoot a shot, the more shots you use, the more shots you take, the more energy you use. This is an energy game, and what, you want to keep the dude out even longer? No, especially considering then they made it clear, the Lakers organization made it clear, it don't matter if he comes back tomorrow. Doesn't matter if he comes back a month from now, he can come back in the NBA Finals. They're putting this man on a minutes restriction. Why are you going to wait for him to pair up with LeBron and then put him on a minutes restriction? That's foolish. That's 110% foolish. You might as well have him come back, let him get in the flow of things. So the instant LeBron comes, boom, we hit the ground running. When you put LeBron back in that lineup, you want the least amount of problems to occur. Why? Because this – once LeBron and AD come back, this roster is going to be considered healthy. So when you're healthy, you need, like, especially when you're a team who just won the chip and you guys are one of the favorites to win it again, when your roster is considered healthy, you need to hit the ground running. There's no way they should wait. Another thing, who knows? I mean, I don't have no doubts about this, but there's a lot of people who doubt if, like you said, if AD and Drummond can work together. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. And the reason I say that is because give the ball to AD 3-point line, mid-range, on the block, or in the paint. He's scoring. He could score anywhere on the floor. Now, obviously, Andre Drummond, he can't score like that. You know, he's most of the time, you need him to post up, and you need him to be in the paint. You need him to be close. So, honestly, I don't think it'll be a big deal. I just think they do need to work on the chemistry, because if you're going to call the Lakers a big three, Andre Drummond is going to be that third guy. I don't want to hear nothing about Kyle Kuzma or THT. I don't want to hear none of that. Or the only other person who could be in that big three is the GOAT, Alex Caruso. But if it's not Alex Caruso, I don't want to hear none about it. It's either Drummond or nothing. So if he's going to be in that big three, there's going to have to be some sort of chemistry. They're going to have to be able to play with each other properly and fit with each other. Because if they don't, then what? You're probably going to have to, what, put Andre on the bench? And that's going to be stupid because you did a whole bunch of stuff to get him. And another thing, the knock on AD ever since he came to the Lakers is that he has been passive. That's what everyone keeps telling me. Everyone was like, oh, my God, Anthony Davis, he's so passive. It's not that he's passive. It's just in the fourth quarter, there was a stat I was looking at yesterday. In the fourth quarter, before he got injured, he was in the bottom, like, 30% in terms of minutes per game in the fourth quarter. What am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? Do I want him to be aggressive? Yes, I do. But in order for the man to be aggressive, he need to be on the court. How is he supposed to be aggressive and supposed to take over when he's sitting next to Vogel giving him dirty looks? What are we supposed to do with that? When he comes back, he's going to be the de facto number one. And I'm going to tell you this right now. 15 minutes of AD will win you some games. 110%. And the main reason I'm saying do not wait and play him. I would rather them have a decent, like, because like I said, 15, 20 minutes of AD, because that's the minutes restriction they're going to work with. It's going to be between 15 and 20 minutes. They're going to see how his body reacts. They're going to see if he's heavy breathing or if he's kind of like, you know, reaching down and stuff. They're going to pull him out. 15 or 20 minutes of AD can win you some games. I don't care who you play. 15 or 20 minutes of Anthony Davis, who at worst is a top 10 player in this league. At worst.
Yeah.
He will win you, just him alone being out there, 15, 20 minutes, he'll get you some wins. And I would rather them do their thing. Then when LeBron comes back, they go on a run then and go on a run to get a higher seeding rather than wait. Then LeBron comes in, then AD comes in, then you got to fix it. And then later they have to go on the run to make the play-in. Because when you make the play-in, one game will ruin everything for you. At that point, talent don't matter. Like you saw last year, the Suns went undefeated. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So when you get into that play-in, it won't really matter. It's more along the lines of, okay, who can get on this hot streak? And you know what I mean? It's like when you leave it up to a puncher's chance, that's not going to be good. So me, 110%, if AD's clear, you throw him out there. I don't care if LeBron is with him or not.
Yeah, you know, you make a lot of great points, Pride, and, you know, I agree with a lot of the things you said, Pride, but I'm with you with not holding till LeBron is healthy because we don't know when LeBron is coming back 100%, so you can't wait any much more. Long guys are the fifth seed and only losing more games. When Andre Drummond came to the Lakers, I thought, wow, he played phenomenal those few games, and he looked a beast. These past few games, he can't even find the bucket anymore, and he plays in the paint. So, you know, it's like, damn, what's going on with your offensive game right now? But you cannot wait any longer. AD needs to play, but to a minute restriction only. Probably you touched on it. I say 15, 25 minutes, the maximum. You cannot have him out there for 30 minutes because the injury that he has is a lower extremity injury. Those are the type of injuries that they pop with explosive movement. AD is not no slouch. He's an explosive big man. He can make moves that, you know, your typical big man can't. He's very finesse. He's very skillful, but he is a big body. He's not no punk. He can't get bodied out there. So what I like about AD is that presence that he brings, but that's the thing that worries me. You cannot have him out there for longer than 25 minutes to me because re-aggravate that injury. Because a lot of people saying that those type of injuries we've had, I've listened to a few players talk on podcasts about having similar injuries. And when they have it during the season, it's when it's the scariest because those injuries will require surgery. Because during the season, you're not fully recovered. And at any moment, we saw with KD with Golden State, he made a move and it just popped. It just went. So these type of injuries are worrisome, especially with the type of player that AD is. So you definitely need him at a minute restriction because you can't afford to lose any more games. You need AD out there to, like you said, build, I guess, chemistry. But they're a championship team, Pride. I believe they have enough chemistry already, but they do need to learn how to play with Andre Drummond. And that's definitely a big key going on to the rest of the season to finish possibly above the fourth seed. Because if the Lakers continue to fall, and they get LeBron back, I would rather have my guys back healthy and at a higher seed than have them healthy 100% and then play the toughest teams. Because like you said, if you're going to wait and then have KD when he comes back, then play a minute restriction against the tough teams in the West, dude, I spoke about it a few shows ago. The Lakers from that point on had the toughest schedule amongst the top teams in both conferences. And I said they were going to lose 12 out of 22. And look, they're not letting me down. They're scared. They're projected to lose exactly what I said. So it's a scary position for Lakers right now. So you need to get KD out there, but don't overdo it because those type of injuries, if you re-aggravate it, you're just going to throw your whole season away because LeBron is not going to be able to do it without AD. So all I'm saying is you need to keep him on the minute restriction. Don't overdo it. I believe that, you know, that coaching staff with the Lakers, they know exactly what they're doing. They're the reigning champions. A guy like LeBron, he knows how to manage his body. If he's not 100%, then he's not going to go. And I believe that LeBron right now is at like 97%. Okay, probably at like 97%, but he wants to be 100% when he comes back. But the problem with that, JJ, is if you wait too long and you get into the play-in, and then first round, you're playing the Utah Jazz. Then the second round, if you get through that, you got to play the top seed in the second round. So it's like you really need to understand that this team is built to be a top seed. If they're not healthy, they're not going to be making it to the NBA Finals as a low seed. I believe that it will be rougher and tougher for them. And with the injury that AD has, have that. It's like every time AD is on the court, I kind of like wince a little bit because it's like, damn, I don't want him to re-aggravate it. That type of injury. You understand? So that's the only thing that's worrisome for me. I hope they don't overdo it. Keep them to 25 maximum. And I agree, Pride. 15-20 minutes, probably 25 minutes of AD against, you know, a lot of these teams, it'll get you some wins, but you can't overdo it because that'll ruin your whole championship aspiration.
Yeah, guys, I think you guys both made great points. And Sander, you know, I think if the Lakers did end up playing in the play-in and had to play the Utah Jazz 8-1, I like the Lakers' chances in that playoff matchup. Just saying, I think it'll be fine for them. I think they'll be more concerned about whoever they'll play in the second round. But, now to answer the question directly, you know, you guys are right. You got to get Anthony Davis out there because I don't even think he's in league shape right now. Obviously, you know, he does condition and work out and does what he does to stay in shape. But there's nothing that keeps you in shape as playing the actual game. And he's been away from us for so long, you know, the actual date now is actually Valentine's Day, February 14th, where he had went down. So, you know, we're a couple months removed now, talking about almost 2 months, actually a little more. So, you know, he's definitely going to be cold regardless if he gets back. I hope he's not as rusty as the Lakers anticipate him to be. But I'm very interested to see how this dynamic with him and Andre Drummond is going to work out because Anthony has always said, hey, I love playing the four. I'll play the five, but I'd rather play the four. And now he has a true five already solidified in that lineup now. So now he's happy. He's like, word, I don't have to play the five. Unless we're going small ball, which is fine because he's arguably the best small ball five you can find at the four. So easily, you know, a position of strength for the Lakers if it comes down to that scenario. But, yeah, guys, Pride, I really do think that you got to get him out there. Get him in game shape because, you know, when LeBron comes back, he's going to want to be 100% as possible. He's going to need AD to be as close to him as he can be because without Anthony Davis, you know, I think we all agree, you know, they could make it to the finals, but winning the whole thing might be just more challenging if he doesn't have his Robin to his Batman.
I guess I hit something. But being in shape is different than being in league shape. Like, yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, if you're just running and doing laps, yeah, you're in shape. But in order to play in the league, that's a whole different cardio, like a little cardio system you got to work out. It's just different. And to
touch your point, I'm just saying, Pride, one thing is doing suicides in the gym. Another one is you trying to do it while dudes is bumping into you and you're trying to stretch up for the ball. It's definitely a different animal.
Yeah, it's 110% different. But another thing you said, you don't know how he's going to mesh well with Andre.
I think they're going to mesh well because.
I think it's going to be perfect because, again, I'm not smart. There's times where I have to remember what I said 2 minutes ago, right? So when people were saying, oh, how is he going to mesh? I decided to go back in the history books, right? There's this dude that he played with, right? This was before he became Dogwater, right? This dude, I don't know if you ever heard of him, a guy named DeMarcus Cousins, right? When they played with each other down there with, when he was with the Pelicans, not a single problem. And there's no way that DeMarcus Cousins is not better than this Andre Drummond. There's no way. So me personally, I think it's going to be no issue. I just think it's going to be like a little bit of a, I want to figure out how you play. Like, for instance, like if AD has the ball and if I'm going to dump it to you, how do I know you really want it? Or how do I know you're just basically putting it up there and then you're going to give me room so that way I can slide by and go in for a dunk? It's just those little nuances that they're going to have to learn with each other and they're going to have to pick up on. Yeah, exactly. It's the chemistry stuff. Like those little things you got to worry about. So, but, and honestly, like I said, it's, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. I think it's just, I just can't see a world where a guy as talented as an Anthony Davis just can't mesh with a star. Like, because Andre Drummond, for as much as people want to you know, poo-poo on him, he's a star. He's a solid star. He's not a superstar, but he's a star. Yeah, you know, like if you say Andre Drummond, 70% of people will know who you're talking about. He's a star. He's a solid dude. There's no way a guy on Anthony Davis's caliber cannot mesh with him. I just can't see a world that doesn't work out. I just can't see it.
Yeah, because not for nothing, he plays the natural four, probably. JJ, you said it. He's naturally a four. And a dude that size at the four that can stretch the four, dude, picture this. Anthony Davis on the corner, correct? He's skillful enough. He demands a double team when he's working on a dude, okay? Good luck teaming Anthony Davis, because guess what? Andre Drummond is on the post. Who you're going to bring the five to help? Because you need a big man. And then where's LeBron going to be? By himself? Good luck with that. So it's like, I want to see him play together because I want to see that. I need to see that, though. I mean, and I want to be sure that that's what we see. We don't want to see the Andre Drummond that is out there 32 minutes a game and giving you 6 points. Yes, granted, you
hit. That's not an issue. That's not an issue. That's not an issue at all. And I'm going to tell you why that's not an issue. I'm going to tell you why that's not an issue. The reason being, if Andre Drummond is protecting the paint and getting you boards, he can give me 0 points. Because when they brought him in, they didn't bring him in to average 20-20. Is that his potential?
No. I'm expecting at least a man like Andre Drummond in that offense with LeBron and AD to give me at least 13 points. Or 10.
But he's minimum third 10.
But that's why.
No.
I can't have a guy in my big three giving me 6 points, right? I need him at least to give me double digits.
If he giving me 15 boards with two blocks, oh yeah, he can.
Right.
Oh yeah, he can.
But I just need.
This is a dude who can grab 20. He can grab 20 with the same effort it takes me to fart.
No, I agree.
I need to give him at least 10.
I would say yes if he's not giving me boards and if he's struggling defensively. Now, if that's an Andre we get,
I hear you.
I'm gonna need 15.
Correct me if I'm wrong. LeBron and a guy like Anthony Davis are high percentage shooters, correct? So
correct.
I don't think the opportunity to get as many rebounds like 20, 25 will be there when they're on offense. So that's what I'm saying.
But you talking about offensive rebounds? Oh, he'll get it when you got Kyle Kuzma throwing stuff up. Oh, I promise you he won't get his. Don't do that. I promise you he won't get his.
He'll probably get 15 rebounds if Kyle Kuzma shot the whole game.
Right, yeah. But all just for that, though, I do get your point. And like I said, the only time I would ask him to give me more offensively is if, because like I said, when they brought him in, to hold down the paint, to get a true five, because they knew AD wanted to be at the four, to get a true five that will hold on the paint and give you boards. Now, if he's struggling defensively, and instead of giving you 10 boards, my man's out here giving you 6, then yeah, you're gonna be like, okay, bet. Seems like you got energy. Now I'm gonna need you to put some of that energy on the offensive side. So I do get your point, but before I say he needs to give us that, I want to see how he plays with LeBron and AD. Because again, if he's giving me good boards, he's defending the paint. I won't be so hard on him in terms of the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I know that we're all excited to see what a healthy big three is going to look in LA now with Andre Drummond, because it's just very anticipated. I can't wait to see it, you know. But I am excited to see a guy like Anthony Davis make a comeback, because, like I said, I love him. I'm excited to get him back. But I do want to transition from a guy that we're going to get back to a guy that we'll possibly never see again, unfortunately, you know. LaMarcus Aldridge yesterday abruptly announced he's retiring from the game. You know, apparently he had a irregular heartbeat condition that really give them a scare. And I understand, you know, before we are athletes, before we are mothers, fathers, sisters, we're humans. You know, we are all human beings. So our health is always going to become a first priority to us. And, you know, we know LaMarcus Aldridge. He's been in the league for quite some years now. He's made his money. So I think on the financial aspect of that, he's good. I think that he'll be okay to take care of his family for the rest of his life, Sander. But, you know, this is a blow to your beloved Nets, you know, that you've adopted this season. You know, he was the acquisition that they made out there alongside Blake Griffin. And it looks for the rim defenders.
You hear the disrespect, right? You hear the disrespect.
Nah, he right. No, he. I'm not even. I'm laughing because he low-key right, bro. Like, it's almost as if you left South Beach and all of a sudden you got a little – you out here moving in with Donald
he
Trump.
Got a little side thing in Brooklyn.
I started listening to drill new music. So, feel me. I guess I got a little bit of that New York Pop Smoke vibe.
I'm telling you, right now he stands up, he wearing Tim's. I'm telling you.
Yeah, don't call him out like that. But yeah, no, Sander, you know, he's definitely going to be a big loss to the Brooklyn Nets moving forward. They were looking for him for defense. You tell me, how big of a loss is this loss to the Brooklyn Nets?
Well, to be quite frankly, it's not that big of a loss because when LaMarcus Aldridge was acquired by Brooklyn, from the second he got there, he didn't really produce as much as, you know, people intended for him to produce. He wasn't really anything close to the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge. So he wasn't really productive. So I don't think they're, you know, they didn't gain anything when he got there. And, you know, they're pretty much not going to lose anything. But, you know, this is a guy that gave you a little bit under 20 points a game career-wise, 8 rebounds a career-wise. You know, so he was a talented player. You said it, JJ, he made his money. He made a career, and Portland was his best day. But, you know, a big man like that, he suffered some injuries. So, you know, it definitely deterred, you know, some of his progression in his year, in his prime years. But nonetheless, JJ, you know, when something, you know, like an irregular heartbeat happens, like, you got to understand that's life or death. The last thing you want is something like, you know, you running down the court and you basically, you know, passing out and possibly, you know, dying on the court. You know, so I believe that LaMarcus Aldridge did the right thing. He basically put his health before anything and his family before anything. So, you know, I'm not going to knock him for it. A lot of people prior to the man was ring chasing, you know, and I understand that. But, you know, when you're a dude that's late in your career, you know, you can't be a top guy. Hey, we've seen Gary Payton and Karl Malone latch on to the Lakers to the finals. Granted, they didn't win, but that was definitely like a ring chase move. So, you know, I see it in the NBA all the time, so I'm not really going to crucify him for that. But nonetheless, guys, the Brooklyn Nets, with him, without him, they were a top three team in the East. They desperately need their big stars back, like KD fully healthy and James Harden. Hopefully he comes back from the hamstring. Like I said, hamstring injuries, those are question marks because those are things that linger. But I know for sure if the Brooklyn Nets are 100% healthy and they come back, they're lethal. They're lethal and they can hang with anybody. So I'm not too much worried about it until they come back healthy, because they haven't been healthy this whole season and they still managed to have a top three in the East. So I'm not really, you know, I'm not really worried. I'm just, you know, I'm worried once they come back. I want to see once they come back how they're going to play together. That's all. But quite frankly, Jay, LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer. He has a really cute nickname, supposedly the mid-range god. So he's a very high percentage mid-range shooter. You know,
famous for the mid-range.
I think he's a top rebounder in Portland history, and he's one of the top scorers in Portland Blazers history. You know, he has that going for him. I don't see him as no first ballot, you know what I'm saying? So I just think LaMarcus Aldridge had a really good career. That's all. A really, really good career. Not your average career. He was an all-star a few times, granted, and he's always been a skillful player. But, you know, he's just a really, really good player that had a really good career. I don't really, you know, put so much stock in it. They're like, oh, they lost LaMarcus Aldridge. They didn't have a big man with LaMarcus Aldridge, and they got bodied by the Lakers without LeBron and AD. So they didn't really have a big man even with LaMarcus Aldridge. And not for nothing, Pride. Like you said, DeAndre Jordan is a shell. DeAndre Jordan is a shell. He's not even a center. So, I mean, I'm not really too, like, excited or down about LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. You know, he made the right decision for health. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be fine. You know, that's all.
I was going to take this segment, right? I was going to violate LaMarcus Aldridge. I was going to make this dude look like a bona fide bum. But listening to what you just said, I literally had to rewrite what I was going to say. So everything I'm saying right now, straight up on the fly. Because there's no way you're going to sit there and tell me with a straight face, this is not a big deal. So first and foremost, on that team, before he left, I'll say it to the day I die, LaMarcus Aldridge is the third most important Brooklyn Net. Period. I'm explaining why. You said he was playing bad. My dude was averaging, what, like 12 points a game? And he was giving you two blocks a game. Which, ironically, was what the Brooklyn Nets needed. They needed someone to protect the paint. So you're going to say it's not that big a deal. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Now that LaMarcus Aldridge is gone, answer me this question. Who's filling that defensive role? And I'm going to actually give you a minute to try to answer that.
Okay, you want to give me a minute to answer that? They haven't had they haven't had a top defensive player on that team the whole year, and they're a top three team. What does it matter?
I'm glad you said that. You ready to the funny part? You ready to the funny part?
What does it matter?
I'm going to tell you right now. Embiid almost dropped 40 on you.
Okay. And they still were competitive in that game.
What?
And it was still a competitive game. It wasn't a blowout.
It was a blowout. If you watch how they were playing, you got the next guy who can probably the next best defender in terms of your big man is DeAndre Jordan. And what was DeAndre Jordan doing? Throwing his hands up in the air, looking at Steve Nash. I give up. And Steve is like, well, you got to play.
You expect that team to look the same once that team I read James
110%. 110%.
You're out of your 110%.
Like I said, you're out of your mind to say LaMarcus Aldridge being out is not that big a deal. That's foolish to say that. And it's even worse if you genuinely believe it because the guy's giving you two blocks. You don't understand. In order for them to get to the championship, they're going to have to go through Embiid and they're going to have to go through Giannis. Let's say they get through it and they get to the Lakers, right? Who is stopping? And like I said, I talked about this last time. Drummond has his way with the Nets. Why? Because they don't have nobody to stop him. Now imagine Andre Drummond, who's already dominating them, with a player on the caliber of Anthony Davis.
So that means and you're sitting there.
No. And you're sitting there. And you're sitting there. And you're saying with a straight face, it doesn't matter.
You're expecting them to get to the finals, though.
You said what? That doesn't mean nothing.
How else would they play the Lakers?
No, don't try to switch it. Because you said they were going to win. But are LaMarcus Aldridge out? I don't know if they'll make the finals no more. I don't know. Because in LaMarcus Aldridge, at least you had somebody who, honestly, no lie, with LaMarcus Aldridge, I knew they were going to beat the Bucks.
Who's going to guard I was like, no, James Harden and Kyrie? I just don't understand.
They're going to guard themselves. They're going to guard themselves. Because you're acting like last year, the year before last in Boston, you're acting like Kyrie was that baller, was that shot maker. No, he wasn't. It got to the point where Danny Ainge pointed at the door and said goodbye. What? You're trying to say the same Kyrie who wants to be a social justice warrior, just around the time he either plays bad or the Nets lose. Isn't that kind of funny? I want to go on a sabbatical when y'all questioning, we lost. Why did we lose? Oh, I'm going on a sabbatical. Huh? That's the toughness you got on your team? And again, and we touched on this a few weeks ago. You're also trusting James Harden? Who's literally, when it comes to those moments, is allergic to it? The only surefire dude I know who will probably show up is Kevin Durant. And even then, I don't even know because of his old health thing. You don't know. You don't know. Like the same thing you say about AD, same thing about KD. You don't know. Especially considering he left, came back, and it happened again. They pulled the dude out again for the same thing. So if you're saying, oh, yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge, that's not that big a deal. I'm going to ask you a question. Who on that roster is going to protect the paint? And I'm not saying LaMarcus Aldridge was an all-star defender and that he was so phenomenal. If you heard me, you want to
– But you got to play defense on the other side too, Pride. Who's going to guard KD, who's a walking 30? Who's going to – Who's gonna guard Kyrie?
Okay, but you don't understand. But you're not understanding. KD's gonna give you 30. KD's gonna give you 30. You're gonna have Embiid giving you almost 40. So yeah, you're saying, KD playing, he's going to be doing his thing, and all he's going to do is he's going to be a walking bucket. You don't understand. On the other side of the ball, there's going to be that one guy who's going to match them match for match. Especially if you're talking about, Philly, because if the instant these dudes start doubling MB, they're going to dish it to Ben. And I guarantee you, the instant he gets the ball, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to run into the paint. They going to panic and collapse on him. What is he going to do? Dump it to MB. And now what? Stop trying to act. Let me get in here, guys.
Because I think you guys both made good points. You know, I understand, and I honestly understand both points. I think that Pride's point actually reflects more towards the future and what we can expect more as in the when the playoffs come. We're going to miss the body that LaMarcus Aldridge actually presented for the Nets when it came to sense of defense. But I get you, Sander. You barely put on the shoe. You know what I mean? So, like, it was nice having LaMarcus Aldridge there for however games he was there for, but he barely got comfortable enough to really become a Net.
I think that
his impact will be more felt come playoff time when scenarios like the one you presented, Pride, come to tuition. You're going to think, damn, would that have happened if LaMarcus was here? And I think that's really when we'll be able to really reflect on him retiring at this moment, because at the moment, like I said, you really didn't know what he was going to give you come playoff time. You could only really project what that was going to be. And I agree, Pride. I think he could have been that force. He was averaging 2 blocks a game. You were going to need that in the playoffs. But like Sander said also, you didn't know. You never got there, so you never really were going to know what you really had. And, you know, Sander, 12 points are 12 points. You never know when you need that production from a player that you don't got. But, you know, nonetheless, I kind of feel both parties here, Pride.
I don't know. It's like, Obviously not, because like I said, the gauntlet they're going to have to run through, the first round is going to be easy for them. When they meet the Bucks, that's going to be an issue for them. When they end up having to see Philly, it's going to be an issue for them. Why? Because you have big men that's going to feed on them. And there's a question none of y'all want to answer. With Aldridge gone, who's going to fill that defensive hole? Who? Because you want to talk about, oh, yeah, these dudes are shooters.
Let me answer that for you, because this is the answer that we're going to take back. I'm going to answer for Sanders, since he's the Nets guy.
But
who's going to stop our three guys? That's really what it comes down to.
It's a clever line, and you're going to go away. For every 30 KD gets, Embiid is going to drop damn near the same, if not more.
Because when they play Philly,
you're gonna have Ben Simmons, who I don't care what nobody says, is by far gonna be defensive player of the year. If you disagree, you're either foolish or you just want to just hand it to Rudy Gobert just because you don't want to talk about the award. It's one or the other. By far, it's going to be him. You're going to see him. And ironically, he does give Kevin Durant trouble. I'm not saying he shuts him down, but he does get under his skin. And the same thing with James. He also does get under James' skin.
Yeah, but he's one guy can't guard both of them at the same time.
Yes, you can, because when he gets the ball and Harden brings the ball up, they're going to put him on. They're not going to start with him. Why? Because they're going to start with KD, because they want KD to end up not touching the ball. What Philly's goal is going to be, they don't want KD. They're going to attempt to have KD not touch the ball the first quarter. They don't want him to have any fear.
Guys, I don't want to preview a whole playoff
match. No, it doesn't matter. Hold on. The Nets are going to win. LaMarcus Aldridge was a bum. He did absolutely nothing for them. And we're going to ignore the fact that they have garbage interior defense just because he wants to ignore that fact. That's a fact you can't touch on. You go, oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to take away from it.
Embiid's going to be hitting 40.
I don't know what to tell you.
He almost just hit 40 because y'all can't have nobody to guard him.
Anyways, if that's where you're going to take from it, then that's what we'll get. So I do want to transition, though, because it is Friday, and I'm very excited. I love playing weekend prediction with you guys. For anybody that's watching the first time, on Fridays we predict something that's going to happen over the weekend, and we'll retouch back on it on Monday. Sometimes we get it right. lately we've been getting a lot of them wrong. So hopefully this is the week where we get ourselves right. So I'll start off with you, Pride. What you think is going to happen this weekend?
The Brooklyn Nets are going to win the championship. Let y'all tell the story. And yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I'm lumping you in this too, JJ. I'm lumping you in this too. You abandoned LeBron, so I don't want to hear nothing. When LeBron wins the title, I don't want to hear nothing. It's going to be my day. But anyway, so this weekend, it's going to be an MLB. It's going to be a battle. We're going to see the defending champion Dodgers, and they're going to be taking on who people are saying is their greatest threat in the Padres. Look at that goal. Look at that man. Now, people are saying, oh, Tati's out. He's injured. My man is active. My man is going to play. My man is hungry. And the Padres, they going to give the Dodgers the bigness. I don't care what nobody says. I got the Padres winning. I'm going to say it's 2-1. No, I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1. Because I don't respect
playing like But again,
who do they have pitching? Who do they have pitching? Do you know who they have pitching? Stay over there. Today is going to be Walker Buehler. That's going to be a cake. That's going to be a cake ball for this. That's a slap, right? Now, I ain't going to say that Saturday.
You are my guy, yo.
And he could be your guy. Guess what? You want to know why they call him Walker? You want to know why? Because when he gets slapped, he's going to walk his way back down. I don't care what nobody say. I got the Padres slapping him to the point where he considers retirement. Then tomorrow is going to be Clayton Kershaw. And I'm going to respect Clayton somewhat. You feel me? I'm going to say they get the dub. And then Sunday, they got Trevor Bauer. And I'm going to tell you this right now. They going to make this man wish he got caught with that pine tar. They going to make this man wish he got suspended. They going to embarrass him. I'm telling you right now, they getting 10 runs on Sunday. I'm telling you that right now. You heard it live in person. They smacking Trevor Bauer. Sweet. I'm telling you right now. They smacking him.
So you saying sweet. So say sweet.
Say
with your
chest. I said 2-1. I'm not disrespecting
Clayton. You can't say all that. You can't say with your chest like that.
Did you not hear what I just said? Did I hear? Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Trevor Bauer pitching? But is Trevor Bauer pitching all three games? No. Is Walker Buehler pitching all three games? Then I ain't saying sweep because in between they got Clayton and I ain't going to disrespect them. I'm not. This ain't playoffs. So ain't going to choke. So I'm going to say 2-1.
Go ahead, Sanders.
Nice. Well, you know, this weekend, guys, we got a UFC fight night. We got Kevin Gastelum main eventing against Robert Whittaker. It's going to be a banger. We got two guys coming off wins. We got Gastelum coming off a really big win versus Hynes. And then Robert Whittaker's coming off two straight wins against Cannonier, who was a top contender. And, you know, he looked really impressive with those kicks in that fight. Maybe he's fighting that real momentum coming into this fight. But guess what? I got my guy Kevin Gastelum. Kevin Gastelum, you know, he had a few losses before this recent win. And a lot of people thought he was on his way out. But something about that Mexican blood, they just don't have any quit. So I'm really impressed with Kevin Gastelum's last fight. I think he's going to ride the momentum and make another run for a title shot. He's the only one that really gave Israel Adesanya a really tough fight in that division where Izzy is a champion in. You had Izzy look across the corner talking about, I'm ready to die for this. Are you? And, you know, moments like that are epic and legendary. And I'm hoping Kevin Gastelum could put string a few wins together and maybe we see another rematch for the title because Kevin Gastelum, regardless of what people, he's a brawler. He's a smart fighter. He's a really good wrestler. And I have faith in Kevin Gastelum pulling up the upset. And I just hate Robert Whittaker. I hate Robert Whittaker ever since those Romero fights. I swear to God, those two Romero fights, they had me hate him because it's just they gave him the title. They didn't even look at to see Romero in those fights. Nonetheless, I got Kevin Gastelum with unanimous decision victory. I think he's going to outlast Robert Whittaker. Robert Whittaker, to me, doesn't have much power. So Kevin Gastelum, with that big dome of his, he's going to eat a lot of those shots and be able to come out with a unanimous decision victory. Oh, yeah, he has a football helmet head for sure. But, yeah.
I was going to say one thing because you were saying how Israel Adesanya, right, how, yeah, it's legends, you know, those moments when you stare across, I'm ready for die for this, and you want to know what moment ruins it? When he thought he was lit, went up to light heavy, and my man beat the doggies out of him. And by the way, just because you hate Whittaker, I'm picking him.
You want to get some Skittles on it?
I want Skittles. Live and in person. And you listen straight up. You don't got a caller or nothing. Straight up. I got Rob. I got.
I'll send it with this.
Bet. Yeah, you better. You better. Cause straight up, bro. I got my man Whittaker. I'm gonna tell you this right now. You talk about that Mexican blood. He gonna spill that Mexican blood in the octagon.
Whittacon. Bro, I don't call him Robin Whittaker. I call him Power Whittaker.
That's crazy.
He got me wearing this, boy. Crazy. He got me wearing this.
Oh, I love it. We got a bag of Skittles on it. I love it. I'm definitely looking forward to the fight now.
And it's going to be a banger, though. That shit going to be a banger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you guys are going to like my prediction because mine comes from the realm of the NFL because, you know, I had a little birdie come to me this morning. He whispered a little something in my ear, and I'm like, maybe sources? This will come true. It wasn't sources. I had some other story, you know. Kind of like, you know how Cinderella, the little bird, talks to him and stuff. Listen, I got a feeling that over the weekend, somebody's going to give Atlanta a call for that fourth pick because the buzz around Kyle Pitts just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I really think that someone's going to be like, you know what, Atlanta? Y'all taking calls. We're going to hit y'all up because we love him. He's probably going to be the one best player out of this whole draft that's not a quarterback. And I don't know. Something tells me someone's just going to make that deal happen over the weekend.
I want to put your feet to the fire real quick. Who you think is going to do it?
Who do I think? I'll tell you exactly who I think is going to do it. Arizona. I think the Cardinals are going to make that move happen. Yeah.
I think Atlanta would be stupid to try that pick.
100%. Unless you're going to give them a young, talented player that they'll be able to keep for years. Like, I'm talking about a dude who's only 1 or 2 years in, which I don't see Arizona giving up. But and you never know. It could be. I'm going to tell you this right now. If Atlanta does it and Arizona somehow gets Kyle Pitts, that is going to be the steal of the draft. I don't care where Justin Fields go. If Arizona can pull that off, that's straight up the steal of the draft.
Yeah, nonetheless, you know, we're about 2 weeks away from the draft, so I'm very excited for the draft to come around.
Real quick. I just want to give a shout-out to my boy Zachary in Wallingford State Farm. He hooked me up. If anybody got any auto insurance needs, go to him in Wallingford State Farm. His name is Zachary. Tell him Sanders sent you, and he's going to give you the best quote you ever heard. Trust me.
Got your back, Zachary. For Stir the Pot Sports, make sure you follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. You can also find us on Spotify. Just look up CMG Podcast. Look up Stir the Pot Sports. It'll come right up. And make sure you guys follow us. If you guys follow our website at clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Tanner Sanchez. We'll see you on Monday.
Hi, my name is Allison Gamber. I'm the Executive Director for the Cove Center for Grieving Children. Our office is located in Meriden, and we provide services throughout Connecticut. We are so excited to be having a virtual event coming up, the Hope and Healing Virtual Auction and Celebration. The auction will be held April 22nd to the 24th, and the celebration will be held on the evening of April 24th to talk all about the Cove services and what we've accomplished over the last 26 years. If you'd like to join us for the celebration, registration is free, and you can find all the information on www.covect.org. And the link for the virtual auction will be put up there on the evening of April 21st to start live auctioning on April 22nd. So come and join us to celebrate the Cove and raise some funds so we can continue to offer our programs free of charge.